If you will, stand with me. We're going to be preaching this morning from the physician Luke, chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. Many of us have read this passage and skipped right over it. It doesn't necessarily seem to hold much information. But if you really look at it, if you really dig into it, there's a whole sermon right in these four passages. If you have it, say yeah. If you don't, say whoa. Since I didn't get any woes, we're going to assume that everybody has it. I am reading from the NIV version of the text, and it reads as follows. He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he would have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old skins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says the old is better. I want to speak from the topic this morning, make the change. Make the change. This passage and this message is really about change. And I know most of us resist change. And the older we get, the more successful we become in our current system, the more we fight to keep from changing. The effects of change range from negative outcomes, impacts increased stress, we get anxiety, we lose sleep, all because we resist change. The change can be positive. Change can enhance our personal growth. Change allows us to learn new skills. It gives us the ability to adapt to many situations. But whether positive or negative, change disrupts the established routine, and it can make individuals feel uncomfortable are uncertain, but embracing change can lead to significant improvement in our life and in our work. And even if change is not in your best interest, it's in the best interest of the whole. And yet we will fight it. Change threatens our sense of power or our position. Change redefines who we consider ourselves to be. Change changes how others see us in the future, and it often changes how we see ourselves sometimes. Sometimes it's for the good. Sometimes it's for the bad. But change is going to change anyway. Ain't nothing you can do to stop change. It's like time, it just keeps rolling along. And you can roll with it, or you can get rolled over. But change is gonna happen. Change for many of us is like walking into the unknown. Therefore, change requires faith. Like Forrest Gump said, it's like opening a box. A box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I can remember as a child, there was a product out there called, it was called a potluck bag. You can buy it for a dime. It was called potluck for a reason. Because you never knew what you were going to get in the bag. The manufacturer would take broken and damaged pieces of an otherwise normal product and put it in a bag that you could not see through. The bag was filled with air so you couldn't press it and see what was in there. You just have to buy it on faith. I bought that bag several times. I bought it with the faith and hoping that at least one of my favorite things would be in that bag. The change that Jesus is asking us to do is to step out on faith. Jesus says that the change he is offering will make you better, not bitter. But you got to step out on faith. Change offers you hope and will never leave you hopeless. This change is wrapped in a special type of love. Paul says this type of love will never fail you. This type of love won't let you down. Regardless of the condition, this type of love will sustain you through whatever you're going through. You got to make the change, though. You got to make the change. Nobody can force it on you. You've got to make the change. The first point I want to make this morning is that patches won't work. Verse 36 says, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it unto an old. If he does, he will have torn the new garment. And the patches from the new garment will not match the patches from the old. As usual, Jesus uses a simple, relevant parable to make a profound statement. When I read this passage, the first thing that stuck out for me was he said, no one. Nobody would do such a thing. It implies that it should be obvious to everybody paying attention that his actions, this new thing that he's doing, can't be put in the same old box. He says, look at the things that I'm doing. I'm eating with sinners and tax collectors. And none of y'all like that. He says, look at the things that I'm doing. I'm hanging out with prostitutes and sinners. I know you don't like that. John's disciples, they said, were fasting and praying. The Pharisees' disciples are fasting and praying. But your ragtime band and picking up the ones you picked up off the street, they ain't doing none of that. They're eating everything they can get their hands on, and they drink it, and they're ignoring all the traditions that have been set. They're not fasting, and they're not praying, and they're not even listening to the law. Jesus says, I ain't come for them no way. He said, I have not come to call on the righteous. But I came to call on the sinners to repentance. It should be obvious to anybody that's looking at it that I'm doing the new thing right now. I'm making a change. Patches won't work. We've got to change the whole new thing. Jesus is emphasizing that the change must first occur internally before you can see it externally. Old wineskins. The Pharisees had become too rigid in their traditions. They couldn't accept Jesus because he would not be bound by the rules that they set. And they themselves set the rules. It's much like, let's put it this way. In psychiatric terms, they were spiritual neurotics. They just hung up on the little non-consequential things. You know some folks like that. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to get them to see what's really relevant, they hung up on the inconsequential things. I know some folks like that. I ain't called no names, but I know some folks like that. But Jesus gave hope to the people. He gave encouragement and love before asking them to change. He says, my yoke is easy. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you the peace. The peace that you need to survive what's going on in the world. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in the heart. And you will find rest for your weary souls. Again, my yoke is easy. I had to go into that easy yoke thing, but it's a topic for another time. Too many people have a patchwork religion. A religion of their own making. Just look at the number of denominations that we have. And the number of controversies that even within those denominations. We got Catholics. We got Baptists. We got Protestants. We got Church of God in Christ. We got Church of Christ. Some sprinkle and some dip. Some say you can lose your salvation. Others say, oh, no, you can't. All it is to say is that instead of trusting all of these denominations and all of their patchwork systems, let's just trust Jesus. If we can just trust Jesus, all of the rest of this stuff will disappear. Take my yoke and learn from me. They hear about Jesus and they just want to add him to whatever else that's going on in their life. Everybody's got a belief system. Everybody's got a belief system. Without some type of belief system, you can't make it. But too many folks want to just add Jesus in. add them on top of whatever else is going on in their lives. Instead of letting them take over their lives, Jesus wants to take over your life. Anything plus Jesus is less than Jesus all by himself. We got to learn to turn it over. Verse 36 tells us that this cannot work. Jesus makes it clear that he didn't come here to patch up an old system, but he came to provide a new and better one. Old patch systems don't work. I don't know if you've ever tried to patch something that's been worn out. I can remember some old bicycle inner tubes. Most of y'all don't know nothing about an inner tube. But I can remember trying to patch an old inner tube, and as soon as you put a patch on this one, it pops up over here. You're riding along and as soon as you hit, you know something else is blown out. And you keep patching and you keep patching, and you come to the conclusion that patches no longer work. And that's where we find ourselves today. We're trying to patch up relationships. We're trying to patch up our finances. The patches don't work. Jesus is saying you need a whole new system. Trade your old patches for an old Jesus. I said an old Jesus because he was here before we got here. And he'll be here after we leave. The second point I want to make this morning is that Jesus is doing a new thing. Verse 37 reads that, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and the wine will run out. And even the old wineskin would be ruined. Now, I can take you through all of that, but the basic concept is when you make new wine, it ferments. And the fermentation produces a gas. I used to make wine, by the way. Yeah, that's true. When I was a kid, I used to make wines. We used to go pick plums and bring those plums back, and plums and muscadines. I don't know what y'all know about any muscadines. But we come in and we mash those things up and we made wine. Yes, it does. we made wine. And every once in a while, the cork that we used would just pop off from the bottle. The wine would just start spilling out all over the place. That's what Jesus is talking about. This new gospel that he's talking about, it's got too much fermentation in it. The old wineskins have already been stretched as far as they can stretch. This whole religion that he's talking about, it's been stretched as far as it can stretch. We need new wineskins. We need new wineskins because when we take this new religion, if we take this new gospel, and try to put it in these wineskins, wine's going to be all over the place. And can't nobody enjoy it if you got to lick it off the ground. Jesus came to fulfill the law of the gods and of God and the prophets. He did not come to abolish them. He didn't come to add more rules and rituals to our religion, but to reveal God's will and his purpose. His desire is to bring us into a new relationship with God, not to burden us with hypocrisy and legalism. He came to usher in the new kingdom of God, not to conform us to the world's expectations. He sums up this proper relationship that's expected to be in one simple statement. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can do this, all of the other rules are complied with. Old forms of Judaism cannot contain the spiritual freshness of this gospel. Amen. Grace cannot be sown into a system of legalism. That's right. Instead, Jesus weaves a new garment. One that has no seams. One that has no weaknesses. One that will not stretch all burst. You see, when he saves a sinner, he does not mend him a little bit and patch him up over here and sew a little bit over this side. And then, no, Jesus don't do that. He say, I make all things new. The New Testament grows out of the old. It is the fulfillment of the old. Rather than being in addition to the old. But don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. The old wineskin is not the Old Testament. The old wineskin is not God's holy law. The old wineskin is the religious system of Judaism of Jesus' day. The old forms of Judaism were not suitable to contain all the power that's held in the gospel. It can't handle the gospel. Jesus is too great to put in old wineskin. Old wineskins won't work because Jesus is doing a new thing. Old forms of Judaism won't work. They're not suitable for what Jesus is offering this day. Old forms of Judaism can't raise the dead. But Jesus can. Old Judaism can't quiet the storms of life. But Jesus can. Judaism can't offer salvation. But Jesus can. It cannot be your doctor in a sick room. But Jesus is. It cannot be your lawyer in the courtroom. But Jesus is. The law offers no relationship. It's just a black and white situation. Either you obey the law or you don't. But Jesus offers you a relationship. But not just any relationship. A relationship that leaves you highly favored. The church is the new container where one can come filthy and walk out as white as snow. One can come in sick and walk out healed. He can walk in hungry and leave having been fed. He can walk in great need and find that in which he needs. Whatever you need, this body of Christ has it. The power of the gospel. The power. There is power in Jesus' word. And his grandma used to say, ain't nothing like him. I don't care how far and wide you look. Ain't nothing like Jesus. Ain't nothing like him. But you have to take him. And you have to take all of him. You got to take all of him. Or you got to take none of him. He doesn't come in patchwork pieces. You see, when life gets tough, the tough run to Jesus. When life gets tough, the tough run to Jesus. He never closes his doors. He always answers his phone. He's always a welcoming you in. He doesn't take the phone off the hook at midnight. He's there in the midnight hours. And Paul says, just taste him. Just taste him and see that he's good. See that he's sweet. Sweet indeed. When Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. And this is what he meant. He had to change that old wineskin for a new one so that this gospel, this new covenant would fit. The new covenant of Jesus will not fit into the old wineskin or the old system or the laws that they've made. It has to be placed in the spirit of a new man because it's a new and better covenant. It's a new and better promise. It's a greater love built on grace and mercy and not on judgment. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. And my third and final point, containment with the old prevent being open to the new. Verse 39. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says that the new is somehow, the old is somehow better. We have to avoid imposing past traditions, past traditional structures onto our present day needs. Here's a little story. There was a mother with three daughters, and the first two daughters were close in age and had already been taught to cook. The third daughter was several years younger, and this is her first real test at cooking the Christmas ham. She purchased the ham, and she brought her own pan. She heated the oven to the recommended temperature. She seasoned it according to her mother's recipe. And just as the daughter was about to place the ham into the to the oven, she was stopped by the two older daughters who said, "Oh no, not without cutting off the ham hock." And they got into this little spat. And they eventually called the mother in. And the older daughter said, "Mom, she's about to put this ham into the oven without cutting off the ham hock." And the mother surprised him. She said, "What's wrong with that?" And then the older girl said, "You always cut the ham hock off before you put it in the oven." And the mother explained, "I cut the ham hock off because the pan was too short." They thought this was a tradition.
Come on.
Too many things are going on in our lives that we claim to be tradition, but it's what nothing but done out of necessity. All this time they assumed falsely, that it was some kind of tradition when in reality it was just practical. How many things do we do in our lives that we consider traditions, which in reality are just practical? And that's how we treat Jesus sometimes. Going to church has become practical for too many people. There ought to be a purpose when you walk in here. There ought to be a single purpose, and that is to worship and serve the Lord our God. Traditions without benefits. Like when the Pharisees stood on the corner and prayed, not for a better relationship with God, but for the attention of man. God is interested in what flows from the heart.
That's right.
Not from what comes out of our mouth. You see, Jesus described people who are satisfied with the old system of laws and the old traditions of the elders, as they call them. Therefore, they are reluctant to accept the new wine. They are reluctant to accept the new covenant. We just get in this habit and we like what we like and don't want to be bothered with anything new. But as I said before, change will run over you. It stops for nobody. You either accept it or you get left behind. The tradition of the elders really referred to the oral tradition regarded as a fence. They were so intent on protecting and honoring God's word that they made all these other little traditions to keep you from breaking God's word, which in effect broke God's word. These traditions were believed by the Pharisees to be equally binding as the written law. They'd gone so far outside of God's intended meaning. They created thousands of man-made regulations that were irrelevant at best and harmful at worst. God don't need you. God wants you. God wants you. He doesn't need you, but he wants you. Jesus claimed that God's law and their traditions were mutually exclusive. What does that mean, preacher? It means you can't have them both. You got to have one, or you got to have the other. You can't have both. And that's why many of us, that's the way many of us are. We want salvation, but we want it on our terms. We want salvation, but we want to continue to live in this world. We want salvation, but we're not willing to give up anything. But there ain't but one way to salvation. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus gives us a choice. He says we can live in north eternity or we can live in south eternity. It's your choice. I've been close to south eternity. I didn't like it. I am looking forward to living in north eternity. The streets are paved with gold. All my needs are taken care of. All I do is worship God all day. South eternity is a little different. If you think Florida is hot, south eternity South eternity will have you begging for water. South eternity will have you begging for relief. South eternity will have you calling to have your brother pay attention to what's going on, because it will remind him that he doesn't want to be there. I want to live in north eternity. Therefore, I'm going to praise. I'm going to give him everything I got. They sang the song today. I belong to you. You see, you shouldn't sing that song unless you're sold out. You shouldn't sing that song unless, like the gamblers say, I'm all in. I give you everything I got at every opportunity that I have. You want to be all in. Is there one this morning? Is there one that wants to be all in? Yeah, all you have to do is just raise your hand. We have ushers standing there to direct you. Just follow under the ushers. They'll lead you to room number one.